I was asking him, you know, what should I share? What's on your heart? What would you like to say? And I kept hearing the phrase, Lord of hosts. And it just makes me shake. And I was like, oh. And then I would go back to him, Lord of hosts. And I kept hearing that. And so the reason I got so excited was, I think, you know, when I first met the Lord, that's who I met. I wasn't raised in a church. I wasn't from a Christian home. I had no church background. And I was just this little girl who believed that I was born to save the world. I mean, I was 3 years old and trying to save the world. And I grew up this way. So it was a lot of pressure, as you can imagine. Yeah. And I just, I tried so hard at everything because I really felt like I was supposed to do something to stop the suffering that I saw around me. We all saw probably the same things, but for some reason, when I was small, these things would stick to me. I would see the news, I would see things around me, and I would, in my little girl head, would say, that's not right, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be fixed. And for some reason, I believed that was my purpose, was to fix that. And so I grew up that way. So here I was, 15 years of age, wandering around in my parents' backyard, pondering. And I used to do this. I was not an ordinary teen by any means. So I was wandering around my parents' backyard, wondering, how am I going to fix these things? What am I going to do? And I was just inside my own head contemplating, how do I stop this suffering? How do I stop these governments from killing their own people? How do I mean, these big international problems were mine. I don't know. I took them on. And I was pondering this. And that's when I met Jesus. And he showed up in my backyard. I didn't see him then. That came later. But that day, I met the Lord of hosts. And I didn't know about heaven or hell or sin or righteousness or any such thing. If you'd have told me I was a sinner going to hell, I'd have laughed at you. Because I was about as perfect a child as I could possibly be. I know now I wasn't. But then, I didn't know. You know, I did my best at everything. There's no way if there was a hell, I was going to that place. But anyway, so when he came to me, I saw this champion, this Lord of armies, and powerful, mighty, awesome, fiery eyes. Just his presence was the Lord of hosts. And so when my salvation experience was to be enlisted into his army, I didn't know, like I said, it wasn't heaven or hell or anything. It was about stepping into the army of God. And he told me his name was Jesus. And like everybody else that meets him that way, I asked him, what should I do? And he says, follow me. And that's what I'm still doing. Over 30 years later, I'm still, what am I doing? I don't know. If he asks me what I'm doing, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Follow him. That's all I'm doing. I don't know how to do anything else. So anyway, I got so excited because I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you who I saw. Let me tell you who I met. And I get excited. I'm starting to shake now. I need to slow myself, chill back out. And so I asked him, what should I do? Because this is not something I could preach in English, because it's just too, if you see him, he'll make you speechless. And so even now, I'm thinking about him, and I'm losing my mind, you know what I mean? So I asked him, well, what about the Lord of hosts? Tell me what you want me to, what's your message? And then he did something really odd, and he took me to this scripture, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now I'm going to pray. So, Father, we just thank you. You are the Lord of hosts. You are the Almighty God. You are God in my life. You are Lord in my life. You're Lord over all the earth. You're Lord over everything that exists, every name that is named. Your name is above every name that is named. Everything that happens, you are well aware. You are totally in control of all things. You are God of all this earth, God of heaven, God of everything. Every man, every woman, every child, everything in the earth belongs to you. You are the rightful king. And we thank you, Lord. And we cast our care over on you because you are able to handle it. And we just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and help us to hear from you, that you speak through me, that you speak into our hearts, each one of us, what we need to hear, that you help us understand who you are and how we are to respond to who you are. And I just thank you for doing that, Lord. We're open. We're ready. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. Woo! Okay, now time to go for a ride. So the question is, when we all know the scripture, cast your care over on the Lord, for he cares for you. But that is a hard thing. I don't know why. And so I'm thinking, okay, why is this hard? And the main thing I came up with is two reasons. Number one, we don't cast our care on him because we think, actually, we know it says that. It's one of those things where I know you're saying that, but you don't really mean that. Because, and this is where I was. When I met him, I got enlisted. And I was following hard after the Lord of hosts, this captain. You know, I didn't know him as Savior. I didn't know him as friend. I knew him as captain, you know. So I was following, and I thought, everything he gives me to do, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. And I felt like he was, like, watching. And he'd give me an assignment and then sit and watch to see what I would do with it. And that if I did well, it would be good, and he would be pleased. And if I didn't do well, okay, he's patient, he loves me, but he's not particularly pleased. And that's the way I lived for years, and I'm probably still working on that. But anyway, we think he's kind of sitting back and watching to see how we'll do. But he says, cast your care over on him. He cares for you. And I didn't even, you know, I knew I was going to need, I have like 50 pages of notes, and I put some up here. But in a couple of places in the Bible, Philippians 2 and Hebrews, the end of Hebrews, I'm not going to look it up. But it plainly says there that it's the Lord himself that works in you. To work his will out. He's working it out. We cannot do it. I can't. You realize we can't do anything to please him? We can't. He does it in me. He's preaching in me right now, or else I'd go hide under the chair in the back, which I'm not going to do. I'm letting him do it. Let's go. Woo! It's like, ooh, go, go, go. I'm just going to sit over there and watch me. Because he works these things by his Spirit. And so we don't have that responsibility. So that's one reason. Okay, we cast our care on him. Because he wants us to do that. He does not want us to take on the responsibility of having to do everything right. Did I pray right? Did I do right? Am I not getting the results I thought I should get because I'm doing something wrong? And that's the first thing I want to do when I believe it, you know, I believe my life is supposed to go down this road, right? I believe it's supposed to go this way, and here I go, and all of a sudden, bloom, there it goes. You know, okay, go off the edge, go down another road, something goes wrong, and I'm like, oh, man, I did something wrong. So what I'll do is park my car and start checking under the hood and start checking everywhere and check what did I do wrong, and go through the scripture and start searching myself out, what I do wrong, and you know what? That'll take you 15 years, because if I look at what I did wrong, I'll have 100 things I did wrong, and even trying to fix them, just forget it, because now, okay, all of a sudden, the Lord of hosts has gone on to battle. And I'm over on the side of the road looking at myself in a mirror. And there he goes. He's still doing mighty awesome things. And I'm parked over on the side of the road looking at myself, trying to figure out, what did I do wrong to get myself over here? It doesn't matter what I did wrong to get in the ditch. You get in the ditch and you see him go on, you just keep going. He'll fix it. He'll work it out. Is there something wrong here? Yeah. You know, are you one of these, I'm doing the little, for anybody who might listen to this CD, I'm doing the little, what's these things called, quote marks. If you are so-called prophetic and you can see all my bad stuff, go ahead, check it out. I'm not looking at it. I'm going to look at the Lord of hosts, okay? I'm going to keep my eyes on him. He never told us to put our eyes on ourselves. We keep our eyes on him. I mean, if you're in the military and you're in a charge, you got to watch the guy in front of you. You can't afford to go, you know, how many, my goodness, do you guys watch these action films or something, Schwarzenegger and all these guys, and they're rah, and they're out in battle, woo, and they're going forward, and they're blowing stuff up and stuff going. When do they ever pull out a mirror? Really? Can you see Schwarzenegger over to the side? I've got blood on my heart, my face. You know, I can't do Schwarzenegger. Jonathan can do it. But anyway, we don't. That's ridiculous, but we do it. He says, don't do it. Okay? That's easy point. So, to look at ourselves is just ridiculous, okay? We're going to look at him. That's one reason why we don't cast our cares. The other reason we don't cast our cares is that we secretly think maybe he can't handle it. And when I was meditating, I was remembering this little boy. I used to do children's ministry. And I was setting up for a children's ministry in a place other than my home church. And I was setting this place up, and there were these round tables. And I had this big old round table, and I was trying to move it, but it was too heavy. So I rocked it over on the side, and I started rolling it across the floor trying to. And this little, like, 8-year-old little boy came. He just was shocked. He's like, Miss Dina, no, no. A lady shouldn't move the table. Let me do it. He's like, he probably weighed 25 pounds, little bitty thing. And I had to back up and let this young powerhouse man of God in a little body move that table. Because he was amazing. He was going to take that table and move it. I wanted to do it myself because I really didn't think he was able. But that's not our God. Our God is not a little 8-year-old boy. Now, I didn't take it from him because he was right. That was an awesome service to me. And I let him sweat himself out moving that table. And he did it. It's awesome. I'd love to see where he is now. But anyway, our God is great and mighty and powerful. And that's what he wants to get. When he said, the Lord of hosts, and he took me to this, cast your care. This is why we can cast our care. So we're going to look at him tonight as the Lord of hosts. So let's go to Psalm 24. We're going to talk about who is it that we're casting our cares on. Who is this King of glory? Who is Jesus? Is he the King of glory? I think we can get a yes on that one. Yeah, he's King of glory. But maybe we haven't realized that Jesus is the Lord of hosts. Because, you know, a lot of, if you look at Christian art and all that, you see Jesus and you see he's like very sweet, you know, very, got a little lamb under his arm, little cute, you know, feet, you know, you know, little pretty robe thing. But that's not how he looks. If you ever see him, and I wish I could tell you what he looks like, because I saw him once, just enough to knock me out. But he is, I can't say it in English. I'll preach it in tongues what he looks like. If you look in the book of Revelation, I can't go there, see, I'm way off now. But you look in the book of Revelation, and John sees him, and his eyes are fire, and he's glowing, and he's white all over. He shines like the sun. He's all powerful. And anybody who ever sees him will fall flat on their face. That's who we're dealing with. So I don't know where they get these little pansy pictures. He is gentle. He's tremendously gentle. I mean, when he shows up, and John the Apostle, awesome, one of the greatest men that ever walked the earth, John the Apostle. Jesus shows up and he sees him and he's like passed out. Boom. He's on the floor, on his face. And it says that Jesus touched him and said, fear not, remember? How's he going to touch him unless he bowed down beside him? He didn't stretch his arm. You know, he had to get down and touch John. So that he's both. But we forget how mighty he is. So that's what we're going to talk about. So anyway, Psalm 24 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then let's move to Psalm 89. It says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. Now, Rahab, that doesn't mean a person. I put in parentheses on the thing up there. It means the strong ones. Those who trust in their own strength, okay? Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. So in these few psalms, we see a list of things that describes our Lord. Okay? So I'm just going to read them off, and then we'll go through them. So the first one is, he is captain of the armies of heaven. He's not just a soldier. He's not just a soldier. I mean, you think about Michael. You think about these powerful angels. He's the captain of all of them. I mean, they're the ones looking at him and going, ooh, oh my gosh. You know, you look in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and those mighty seraphim, those awesome angelic beings are like, holy, 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 holy when they see him. He is amazing. He is strong and mighty. He is faithful. He rules the seas and stills the waves. He breaks the proud. He scatters his enemies. He is rightful king of heaven and earth and of all that are in them because he made them. Okay? He doesn't have any trouble. You know, we see all this stuff going around us, all this stuff in the world. I used to be so overwhelmed by governments, by these big government machines, by politics, by corruption. I used to be so overwhelmed. I just felt like less than a worm when I look at that stuff. And I would look at myself and everything I had, everything I could do. And I used to want to be in politics, honestly. I studied politics in high school because I was trying to get in there in some kind of way where I can do something about all this stuff. And it was overwhelming. It was just like humanly impossible. And it still is. But we're not looking at humanly possible. We're looking at the Lord of hosts. And every government is under him. The government is on his shoulders. Don't be fooled by what you see. These men who are all puffed up and act like they're running things, they just think they're running stuff. Read the Old Testament. I wish I had 20 hours up here because I would go through. You should have seen me studying. Mark came in my room. I have Bibles all over my office, which is a bed. I have Bibles. I have every kind of concordances and computers and my tablet and everything. And I'm reading all through Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these places and watching the Lord of hosts. And he's saying, I don't like what I see here. I will change it. He says, oh, my people are doing this and this and this. I will fix it. And then he says, oh, that nation over there is doing wrong. I will fix that. I will. I will. I will. He can say that. I'm not going to go around saying that because I'm not him. But he says that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's all over the Bible. That's so awesome. So these big, you know, puffed up people who say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I mean, God, he moves the kings like chess pieces. He is so cool. These people that are, you're like, God, what are we going to do with this? God just moves them like chess pieces. He's got it all figured out. He's working everything out for, guess what? For my good. You can claim that if you want. I'm going to claim it for me because it says all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord who are called according to his purpose. I love him and I am called according to his purpose and so are you. So take it. All this puffy stuff going on and these big guys and these tyrants and all these people, he's just going to use that for his glory. He's just going to turn that around when he's good and ready, when he feels like it. And he's not whining about it and he's not wringing his hands about it and he's not saying, what are we going to do? He's not like that. He's got it. And we as his people, see, we follow him. We're in his army. You know, I used to think I'm going to go out. I used to want to be, you know, in the army of the Lord. And I was like, oh, yeah, I used to tell Mark, you see that picture of that Marine in the dress blues? See how cool he looks? Yeah, yeah. See how perfectly he's dressed? Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not me. And I said, no, I don't look like that at all. I've been in combat. And I'm all, you know, scarred and bruised and dirty. I got mud up to my knees, and I'm missing some teeth, and I got one eye swollen, and I'm going to get you. And that was my take on my position in the army. Well, I've advanced. That's not me anymore. Because I'm the king's daughter and the bride of the captain. And if any of you ladies ever watch anything romantic, you know that the bride of the captain does not go into battle, sweetheart. I sit on the hillside and tell everybody what to do. It's good. It's good. You know, the sword of the Lord, the Word of God. I don't have to swing it like Conan the Barbarian. You know, we don't have to do that. I'm learning. This is good stuff. This is not even in the notes, but it's okay. This is fun, isn't it? This is fun stuff. I like this because it cheers me up and it encourages me. That's what the Word of God does. So anyway, you know, you don't have to. I read it. You've got to be skillful in the Word of God. La, 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 la. Yeah, you know. Well, let me tell you how to be skillful in the Word. Put it in your heart and let it come out your mouth. And the Word of God does its own work. All you got to do is you just take it. Touch the enemy. Zzz, there they go. That's it. You don't have to have any strength in your arm. I don't have to be strong when I'm swinging the Word of God. I don't have to be skillful swordsman. I just touch you. Zzz, there you go. You know, oh, you're going to block me? Okay, then I'll touch your weapon. Zzz, there it goes. And now you're weaponless, and now I'm going to zap you. Zzz. It's the power of the Word. It's not my power. I don't have any muscles. Don't need any. I'm the king's daughter. I'll just zap you one. Because I say what he says. That's all it takes. I don't have to scream and holler and yell. I've seen some really awesome miracles. I remember one time this lady came to a meeting. I shared this story before, but I need to share it again. But this lady came to this meeting, and she was having every kind of physical problem. She couldn't walk. She had like a one of these walker things. She was struggling. She just, you know, was having such a fit just with this infirmity all over. She was in pain. She couldn't do anything. And she came to a meeting I was in among some ministry leadership. And I don't remember why she was in there, because she wasn't a part of that leadership ministry there. But she came in and she told us, she said, I have the spirit of infirmity. I can't walk. I can't move. I'm in constant pain. And I went for a prayer and somebody said it's a spirit of infirmity. And she said, I know. I can't get rid of it. And they said, well, a prophet's going to lay hands on you and it'll go away. And she says, okay. And I'm sitting there listening to that and I'm thinking, what in this world is going on with this? What is this? And we were all sitting in a circle. You know how you do sometimes. We're knights of the round table or something. And all these ministry leaders proceeded to tell her, you need to strengthen yourself. You need to fast. You need to speak the word 500 times a day. You need to do this. You need to do this. And I'm sitting here watching. And Jesus is sitting in the circle. I didn't see him with my eyes. I have to make that clear, because sometimes you do. I didn't see him with my eyes that day, but I saw him in my heart. And I saw his eyes go, and he's just on fire. You know, I was looking, I like to look at the Google images, and I was seeing these fiery-eyed lion pictures in the Christian art, you know. I love those. And he looked like that. I thought he was going to tear something up. And I was like, what are you going to do? I'm sitting there, I was the least of these in the meeting, as I often am. And here I am sitting there, and all these people who are my elders and senior to me, and giving her all this advice. And I'm sitting here thinking, what am I going to do? I can't do anything. And I'm looking at Jesus, and he's like off on fire. It was just like zeal. I don't know. Anger. And this woman continued to talk about her suffering. And the more she talked, the hotter he got. And he was like, if he had been literally sitting in a chair, he'd have been on the edge of the chair. He just ready to pounce, you know. And they went on to tell her all the stuff she had to do. And when the meeting was over, I asked permission. Can I pray for this lady? You know. And they're like, oh, go ahead. You know, they'd already given her their 25 points to healing messages. And Jesus came. And I just watched him. You know what I'm saying? Just watch him. And that's what I'm saying. Watch him. I watched him. I just went over and touched her with my little soft voice that I have. And I don't remember what I said. I saw him touch her. And she was healed. Boom. Just boom. And I'm thinking, because inside of my heart was this, he was in me saying, who says you're not, you can't get rid of the spirit of infirmity? It was just a little spirit. And he's the Lord of hosts. And what does he need? What kind of vessel does he need? What kind of weapon does he need? How strong is he? Is he strong enough? Okay, I'm going to fight. Who's some big, strong guy? Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. guide. Y'all know who that is? Okay, I'm going to fight him, right? I've got myself a big old baseball bat, and he's got a feather. Who's going to win that fight? I put my bet on him, okay, because when I swing my bat, he's just going to grab it, and he's going to throw me on the floor and beat me to pieces with a feather because he's that strong. Jesus doesn't need a battle axe. He can take a little somebody like me and whoop the living daylights out of any spirit on this side of the planet. Do you understand? Because he's the Lord of hosts. He's fiery like that. He chooses that. He didn't have to do that. He can just blow on the devil. Pfft, there he goes. He could do that. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to use us. He says, come on, Dina. Come on, baby girl. Let's go over here. I put my little diapers on. And I go over there. And y'all are laughing, but it's true. It's the way it is. It's so funny. And he does this. But if we understand that, it takes the pressure off. You know? If I come up here for the prayer lines on Sundays, I don't want to stand up here and start thinking, oh my goodness, did I pray enough this week? Did I fast enough? Did I take communion enough? Did I forget communion yesterday? I don't want to look at me when you come up for prayer because you won't get nothing. That's bad English, but it's more emphatic. You won't get nothing because I don't have nothing. You see what I mean? But if I look at him and I watch him, he'll show you. He'll open your eyes. And he'll show you what he's going to do. And then he'll give you a word. And you just speak it. And you don't have to yell and scream. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I get loud. Because he's loud. Sometimes he's not loud. So I'm not loud. Watch him and do. And you'll be amazed at what he does. It's so fun. It's so fun to watch him. He's so great. So anyway, let me get back on this. The captain of the armies of heaven. Look in Revelation 17, 14. I'm just going to show you that this is him, by the way. Because the Lord of hosts is all over the Old Testament. But I couldn't find that exact term in the New Testament. So I'm going to make sure that we understand that this is Jesus we're talking about. Okay? It's talking about, you guys know the book of Revelation. We just went through it. And it was awesome. But it says that it's referring to these enemies of God. And it says, these shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He will overcome them because, not because of what he does, but because of who he is. And don't you love the picture? Let me read Revelation 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Is this Jesus? Yeah, okay. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth upon the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what King of Kings means? It means the king of every king. You know what Lord of Lords means? He's the Lord over every lord. In other words, there is no king and there is no lord that he's not over. Isn't that awesome? And guess who I am? I'm his favorite. Y'all have to be second in line. No, I hope you don't receive that. It's just so great to know. It's so great to know. Because like I said, I carried this all my life. And I'm just now getting past it. I'm just now getting to the point. You know, I've gotten a little of this at a time, but now it's the more and more it's growing on me who it was that I met when I met him. You know? Check out this one. It says, he is strong and mighty. Psalm 24, 8. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. I love this. Strong and mighty. So here I am with all my study tools. Strong and mighty. And I'm thinking, why did you say strong and mighty? Aren't they the same thing? They're not. Okay? So here I get out my Hebrew and all that stuff. Check out the Hebrew words up here. Can you see that? You don't have to be able to see it anyway, I guess, but there's the Hebrew stuff. Now, the word strong basically means like it sounds, forcible, having power. It means strong. But the word mighty is different. And on the surface, it appears to mean basically the same thing. It says powerful. By the way, these are adjectives, and some of these descriptive words are from nouns. So it says by implication, warrior. So it's warrior-like, an adjective out of the word warrior. But check out this root verb here. This root verb says to be strong, to prevail, and to act insolently. To exceed, confirm, be great, be mighty, and prevail. To be strong, to prevail, and to act insolently. That's the verb that they get the word mighty from. Now, you understand what that means. It's an attitude, okay? It's one thing to be strong. It's another thing to act like it. And when I saw this word insolently, I was a little bit offended. And I went looking around. I even looked it up in the dictionary to make sure I knew what it meant, because insolent usually is not very good thing. Insolent means bold and rude, kind of obnoxious. And I was like, the Lord is not rude. I don't like this. But then I had to remember, it says mighty in battle. He's not always polite, okay? The opposite of the word mighty would be polite. I'm so nice. He's not like that. I'm going to prove it to you. Don't you love this? Matthew 21. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I think we get too polite sometimes. I try to be polite and nice. I'm not always polite and nice. You ask my family who's closest to me. And when it's time, I get scary. I scare myself. But not like the Lord of hosts. Can you imagine who it was that walked into the temple? Threw the tables over? The temple's full of people, right? One man goes in there with those fiery eyes of his and wrecks the place, tears it up, turns the tables over. When it says he cast the people out, I didn't put this up there, I don't think. Did I put it up there? I don't think I did. Cast out is this word that means to eject. In fact, he picked them up and threw their behind out. Can you imagine? It's so funny. And these are not these people take the temple seriously. They didn't just stand back there. Think about it. Apply this thing. Who is in all these different positions of so-called authority that he cannot eject when he gets good and ready? Okay? We have to understand what we're dealing with here. We don't need to grieve and mourn, oh, these people are in political office, or these people are, you know, running the schools. No, they're not. They're just there as long as he wants to use them. When he gets ready, he will eject them because he's the Lord of hosts. When he's ready, he will move them. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. You don't get a lot worse than that. I don't care how bad our people are. He was bad. We haven't been being thrown into furnaces yet. When God was ready, he just sat him right down. Picked him back up when he was ready. He was just as good as a puppet as far as God's concerned. We have to understand, if we understand these things, praise will come easy. We don't have anything to mourn about. We don't have anything to fret about because he is able, okay? Now check out this other, this was my favorite one. When it says he overthrew the tables, this word in the Greek is katastropho. Does that sound familiar? Katastropho. Catastrophe. Don't you like that? And you need a Selah moment on that. Turn upside down. It was a catastrophe. He went into the temple and blam. Can you imagine what it looked like when he was through? People scrambling everywhere. Who does he think he is? Ah! and freaking out, and tables everywhere, broken furniture everywhere, and he just scoots some of it aside, and people start coming in and being healed. Aren't you ready for some of that? I'm so ready for that. I am so ready. That's why I'm excited, because I think he's going to do it. There are some things in this world that are set up, that are keeping the people out from their healing, that are keeping the people out from his touch, that are keeping the people away from the power of God, and these things have set themselves up in the face of God like they're going to stand there. And I'm just waiting for the Lord of hosts to come in and start overthrowing and causing some catastrophe. Because that's what he's getting ready to do, I'm telling you. Take it. That's a prophetic little piece of this puzzle, okay? He is moving, and he is going to overthrow. And he's going to throw down what needs to be thrown down. It's not hard for him. And he's not waiting for us either. Because somebody, he's just waiting on you. You have to pray enough. You have to, yeah, we pray. I pray like this. Yeah! Go get him, Jesus! I'm ready! Yes, yes, yes! That's how I'm praying. It's good enough. He doesn't need me anyway. When he gets ready, he will throw the tables over. This is what's coming. We should be jumping up and down. We do not need exhortation to praise when we see this message, when we understand who he is. All we have to do is turn our eyes back on him and say, oh my goodness, he is going to throw some stuff down. When I see these big puffed up people running things, I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not you. I don't want to get in the path of the Lord of hosts. You better move out the way. He's coming through. I love it. Okay, he is faithful. I love this one too. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. That's in the Bible. See? There it is. You can look in your Bible. If you don't believe, that's not stopping him. So don't worry about it. Don't sit there and say, oh, God's not able to move because I don't believe. Yes, he is. He will still move. Go through your Bible and see. He's not, yes, he says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. But sometimes he just does. Who was actually believing for him when he came? Simon and Anna, maybe? The prophets who spoke him? His coming? How much do I have to believe? Just like what? What did he say? Faith is a grain of mustard seed? We all have that. That's all it takes to move a mountain. Because he's the one doing the moving. It says he rules the seas and stills the waves. I'm not going to go through that story. You guys know that story. What can he not move? What is bigger, heavier, more powerful than the ocean? Nothing. You think this ornery person in your life is a problem? They're not as big as the ocean. He moved them. He moved the waves. He talked to the sky and got that quiet. What is it he cannot handle? There's nothing he cannot handle. It says he breaks the proud. I like this one. I like all of it. I keep saying that, don't I? Remember Jesus and the Pharisees? Think about the heart that he has. As high and lifted up as he is, as mighty and powerful as he is, he loves the humble, and he resists the proud. If you ever get around people, you got one really powerful person, and what they want to do is rub elbows with another powerful person, and then they want to get into each other powerful people's good graces so that they can be more powerful, and all the powerful people congregate together, and then all the lowly people wind up on the other side, and then you've got economic problems. You have social problems. This runs everywhere. This goes into like the kids' schools. You got the powerful people here, and you got the lowly people over here. And if you're one of the powerful people and you go over among the lowly people, you are no longer considered powerful. Is that right? I get a witness on that. I give myself a witness on that. It's true. But Jesus is like, he's powerful all by himself. He didn't try to get in the good graces with the Pharisees. He called them snakes. And didn't mind it either, which I think is kind of funny. Now, everything he does is out of love. They needed to know they were snakes. How else are you going to talk to them? Sometimes you got to be blunt. Sometimes he's blunt. And see, when I'm looking at him, the Bible says we look at the Word of God like a mirror. When I worship him, when I look at his face, I see what I want to be. I want to be like him. He's sweet. I want to be sweet. But he'll get in your face. So if I get in your face, you're just going to have to forgive me because I want to be like him. And this is the way we need to be. He will work this in us as we look. The Bible says, as we look on it, when we look at his glory, we're changed from glory to glory as we behold him. Okay? It's like, it's so neat. It's like a mirror that changes you into the image that you should be. And that's why we're looking at him this way tonight. I want to be like this. You know? But in the meantime, it gives me great pleasure to know that he's like this. Because he's my hero. And he's doing these things. And see, as part of his army, so to speak, I've already described to you my position in the army. I want to be like him. I dress like him. When you see an army, don't they all act the same? Don't they all march the same? Aren't they all in line? So that's what we do, right? Okay, so I want to walk in step with him. I want to be, you know, you don't see a line of soldiers march, 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 and you got a little skipping person over here on the side. Something wrong with that picture. We shouldn't look like that. If he's walking like march, 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 then we should march, march. If he stops, we stop. If he goes, he goes. If he dances, we dance. Whatever. You see what I mean? We're in line. So anyway, he breaks the proud, but then he gives grace to the humble. And then it says he scatters his enemies. Man, I'd love to let loose on this one. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I love that. See, it's one thing to die and be able to get up from the grave. Nobody can do that but Jesus. You know what I mean? If you kill me, I'll joke with you. Okay, go ahead and kill me. I'm going to get back up. You know, Paul did it. But I have a feeling he was prayed for. But it's one thing to go into the grave and get back up. That takes a lot of power. You know what I mean? You know the story of, I think, Elisha? I think it was Elisha's bones were in a cave. And they took this dead man and laid him in there with Elisha's bones. It was just his bones in there. And then the dead man got up and came out because of the power, the residue of the anointing in Elisha's bones. Okay? But listen what Jesus did. He went into the grave with his own death and my death and your death and everybody else's death and billions and billions and billions and billions of people's deaths. And he laid down under all of that. And when he got up, he didn't just get himself up. He got up the entire human race. What kind of man is this? What kind of God is this? So we think, oh, Jesus died. He rose from the grave. Yeah, he rose and so did I and so did you. And we all came popping out. My new birth was bought that day. He brought me up that day. All I had to do was accept it. But on that day, when he went into the ground and came back out, you came back out. Can you imagine what that looked like in a spirit? Can you imagine what came out of the ground? No wonder the ground couldn't hold him. But can you imagine the power that it would take to go into that grave with every bit of death and sin and everything, all of hell on top of you and all of my hell and your hell and all of your sickness and my sickness and everything else, go down in there and then get back up? How are y'all sitting down? Okay, I'm having too much fun with this microphone. You might have to take it away from me. It's awesome. And he scattered the enemies. Can you imagine what they did? Jesus walking in his human earthly body, walking along the shores of Galilee. And the devils and the evil spirits would start crying out, "Leave us alone, we know who you are," right? "Don't bother us, don't." They were freaking out when he was in a human body. What do you think they did when he rose up? And they haven't stopped. are still running, I promise you. We just don't know it. Who do you think is inside of you when you walk down the street? When Jonathan was little, he's very sensitive, and he used to be concerned about, you know, he would go into a place and he'd feel like maybe some evil spirit in there. And I used to tell him, do not be afraid to go in that place where that evil spirit is. Expect it to leave when you go in, and when you leave, okay, it can come back. Do you understand who lives in us? The Lord of hosts. I expect when I walk down the street, I want them to run from me. Because of the Lord of hosts. Because I have his name tattooed across my spirit. Because he's in me. And I want them to remember that he got up from the grave and they ran. And it's the same God still. Doesn't the Bible say the same God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you? Well, do you think they did not run for their lives when he came up out of that grave? Do you think they stopped? He has only gotten stronger. He's God. He's ever increasing in his power. What do you think they're doing now? I'm loving this. This is so great. Do you know why darkness is getting darker and light getting lighter? You want to hear this? This is awesome. I just got this. Ooh, I like this. Wait till I tell you what I just saw. You know why darkness is getting darker? Because it's coming out from the light. You getting this? They're congregating. All these dark spirits are leaving the light because they're getting more and more scared and they are on the run. That's why you see darkness getting darker. Because it's congregating. Because it's running. Can y'all see that? Just imagine, okay, here you go. I'm going to show you. Imagine these little marbles, okay? You have a whole bunch of white marbles and black marbles. Okay? They're all scattered on a table. It looks gray because you've got white and black, right? If all the little black marbles start running to the corner, you're going to have big black splotch on the table. You get that? And the little white marbles are getting closer and closer and closer together. Knit together in Christ. What do you think's happening? They're not rising up. They are running to hide and they're coming together, safety in numbers. Because Jesus is on the rise. Still. And they're still running. He's still scattering the enemies. They're running. And I like that. I'm happy. Okay. Last one. He's the rightful king of heaven and earth and of all that are in them, because he made them. We cannot forget that. Some people I've heard of, you know, Satan's got a lease on the earth, and it said, where did they get that? I don't know. Yeah, he has some kind of legal thing going on. That's why he's walking around here and not getting incinerated. And I don't understand all that. But what I do understand is all of heaven and all of earth are the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Satan does not have a people. He's never had a people. He has no right to have a people. He didn't make any people. God made the people. They belong to God. Okay? All of them. It says, just to prove it to you, Hebrews, the first chapter of Hebrews, but unto the Son, he, meaning God the Father, saith, thy throne, O God, this is God talking to Jesus, and God calls Jesus God. Isn't this cool? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Does the Bible not say he created all things by the word of his power? Jesus is the word of God. All things he created. Every man, woman, child, every flower, every plant, every tree, everything belongs to God. He has a right. This is not a hostile takeover. This is not a revolution by some underdog trying to take over Satan's world. This is God's world. All people are God's people. He's taking his rightful place. And we're saying, go get him, Lord of hosts. Okay? And then he invites us to join him. This is the most awesome thing. I so much want into this. I want into this so bad. You don't know how much I want in this. Because like I told you from the beginning, from my birth, I bet I was a little baby walking around trying to do something and fix something, you know, rescuing little bugs out of my house and running them outside before somebody could squish them. And I still do that. Wendy's laughing because she knows I'll still do it. I got to save that bug. Don't stomp it. It's my nature. I was born that way. But for him to Pastor Peter says we partner with God. This is such an amazing thing. We don't have any cares of our own. He's the Lord. He's the captain of the army. All we do is fall in line. Just jump in there. The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory will come in. Lift up your heads. What does that look like? Y'all just saw me do it. I didn't mean to do it. But it looked like this. Spinning around. I've got my hands up in the air. I'm so excited because of what I know he's going to do. I don't care what the enemy is doing. Don't even bring me that. Don't even talk to me about it. You know, I go around some people who've got to tell me every bad thing that's going on and this and this and this and I don't even get it. I don't care. I am so excited about what God's doing. I couldn't care less what the enemy's doing. Go ahead and congregate over there in the corner of darkness. Go ahead and be a big dark cloud. What do I care? We're going to blow you out. You just read the end of the book, didn't you? Everything else has been right. So this is where we are. So what do we do? What do you do when you follow a captain? You know, I watch him. I watch him and see what he's going to do. And what is he saying? Say what he says, and there's power in it. Do what he does, and there's power in it. As long as I look at myself, and I try to, I've had years of teaching. I mean, I've been a Bible nerd for over 30 years. That might not seem long to you, but it seems long to me because I ain't that old. But I've been just immersed. I've read everything. I've heard all the teaching. You ask Mark. I've been nuts. I've just been soaking in so much. But still, everything I've learned, everything I've heard, everything I've read, all the teaching, all I'm using that for is to look at his face. That's all I want to know. I don't need 24 steps. I don't need 32 steps. I don't need 5 steps. I don't need all that. All I want to know is, what do you say right now? And that's what I do. And that's where the power is. So when it says, from the beginning, he said, to cast your care on him because he cares for you. What that means is all this stuff that we're carrying around, we don't have to carry it because that's not our assignment. Whatever you're carrying, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is like any other soldier. Do you know soldiers have no responsibility whatsoever except what their commanding officer tells them to do? That's all they got to do. They don't have nothing else to do. That's all I got to do. I see other things. I have pressure just like anybody. But all I got to do is look at him and do what he says do. That's my only responsibility. And then even that, I'll mess it up if he doesn't do it in me. But he will do it in me. He is working in us. He is leading us. And all we do is follow. And isn't that an awesome thing? Okay. Amen. I'm done. Let me pray. And are you going to dismiss us, Chuck? Okay. So I'll just pray and then we'll go on our way jumping and bouncing around. Okay. So, Father, we're so thankful. We are so thankful. I don't know how to even say it. We're thankful for who you are. We're thankful that you love us. I'm thankful that you came for me, but you came for everybody in here. We're thankful that you are the Lord of hosts, Almighty God, and nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible. You have the whole world in your hand. You have all the systems and all these things that men think that they're doing, and you sit over them and laugh because you got it all. And we sit with you, Lord, and we adore you. We worship you. We spend time just admiring you and saying how wonderful you are. You're so great. And we just appreciate you so much. And Lord, we ask you to fill us with understanding of these things tonight, that we've touched the surface, but we need understanding. We need you to open our eyes and show us who you are. And then help us, Lord, be in our feet by your Spirit and move our feet in your path. Be in our hands and move our hands the way you're moving yours. Be in our mind and speak to us and cause us to be renewed by your word. Reveal your word to us. Show us. Bring us all into alignment with your Spirit. And we march after you, Jesus. We say like the lady in the Song of Solomon, draw us, Lord. We will run after you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.